This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/sword.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Sword and Laser, episode number 70. I'm Veronica Belmont.
And I am Tom Merritt.
And this is a show where we talk about the latest in sci-fi fantasy news, discuss the books we're reading, and tend to go off on wild Game of Thrones tangents.
If you don't know that by now, now you do.
Maybe you're new, and maybe that's why you don't know that.
And welcome.
But we'll get to the welcomes of the new members later.
True.
Because right now it is time for the Quick Burns.
We have some new casting information for television
Game of Thrones.
Series
Game of Thrones.
Stephen Delane, a British actor known for playing Thomas Jefferson in the HBO series John Adams. I did not know that man was British, but I guess that makes sense. Has been cast as Stannis.
Mm-hmm.
Stannis Baratheon is Robert Baratheon's brother. He also has appeared in the kind of movies you'd expect, like King Arthur and Hamlet and all that sort of stuff. Very excited to see him. He kind of looks Stannis-y to me. Yeah?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I see it for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And then Melisandre, you know, with Stannis, if you've read the books, you know, comes the Red Priestess, mm-hmm. Melisandre. And all of a sudden, I have lost. There is her name, Carice Van Houten, a Dutch actress who actually has won 3 Golden Calf Awards. I'm assuming that's
a good thing. Yes.
Not a bad thing. She's best known for her Melisandre like turn in the movie Black Death, appearing alongside Sean Bean and Emin Elliott, as well as appearances in Repo Men and Valkyrie. She was in Repo Men.
Huh. Isn't it Valkyrie? It's not Valkyrie.
Valkyrie is what I said. Totally.
Yes, that is what you said.
To me, that's exactly what I said. And once you edit it,
and that was the fantastic Tom Cruise vehicle from a few years ago, the Nazi killing vehicle, if I remember correctly.
Ah, yes, a meme to end all memes. But Carice Van Houten is blonde. However, if you dye her hair red in your mind when you look at this picture of her from Black Death, you can totally see it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I think she'll make a really good Melisandre. I think it's going to be exciting to see these people in their roles. I can't wait for season 2. But that's not all the casting announcements, is it, Tom?
We also get Davos Seaworth of House Seaworth with his little finger bones around his neck. Liam Cunningham, an Irish actor. He has been in First Night, Jude, and Clash of the Titans. And recently had starring roles in both Camelot and Outcast. Now, I could not stand Camelot, so I never really watched much of it. But I did watch Outcast. He was very good in that. A totally different role in Outcast than Davos Seaworth, obviously. But can totally see him pulling off the Seaworth, although he's much more confident in Outcast. And I see Davos Seaworth as being more of an introvert.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely looks a little onion-nighty to me. I'm excited to see him in this role. I think Davos does kind of project some kind of confidence because he's lower birth.
True, true. Yeah.
And he has to kind of stand up to all these highborn people all the time. So he does have to kind of project some kind
of thing. Yeah. But
did you just say milksop?
Yeah.
You just used that in a sentence.
I did.
That is fantastic. What's happening to us?
I don't know. What I mean about Seaworth, though, is that he isn't brash. Like, he's not like a Robert Baratheon. He's not, you know, like walking around swaggering and stuff.
No.
He's reserved.
I still can't get over milksop.
What is wrong with that?
Well, it's like I said in conversation the other day, the sentence, I kid you not, succumb to the siren song of sleep.
Yes.
In seems terms of speaking reasonable. About myself, like, yes. Oh, I'm going to succumb to the siren song of sleep. And my boyfriend was like, did that really just come out of your mouth? Like, in all seriousness, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And you said, forsooth.
Forsooth. you questioned thine honor. Yeah.
And you slapped him with your glove.
I did. I think we're getting a little too absorbed in this world.
Oh, maybe so.
In all of these worlds.
I don't consider milksop to be a Martin word, though.
I don't necessarily mean Martin, the world of George R. R. Martin. I just kind of mean this other world that we are... Getting significantly more entrenched in as the years
this
go on.
If this makes you feel any better, I spelled milk M-I-L-K, not M-I-L-Q-U-E.
Such a nerd. All right. Well, speaking of nerds and us being thus, we went to see George R. R. Martin speak last week, and we actually got to hang out with a few Sword and Laser fans as well.
Yeah. Thanks to everybody who came out and had some Mexican food and margaritas with us after hearing about the world of Westeros.
Oh, that was awesome, wasn't it? I loved that Mexican food. But to any extent, I had the shock of my life when I realized that Tad Williams was moderating this discussion. Tad Williams being one of my favorite fantasy authors.
You should have seen the look on her face when they announced that Tad Williams would be hosting the interview. I mean, everyone else is there like super excited to see George R. R. Martin, and Veronica's like went pale and looked at me with her mouth open and was like,
Yes, but that's not all. I mean, they had a great discussion. There were some fan questions that had been submitted earlier in the evening. Actually, one of our very own, Christopher, had one of the first questions that was asked. I can't remember what his question was exactly. I think it was the what will happen if you die question.
It was. And
that was glazed over a little bit.
Was like, oh, I wish I had phrased it a little differently, because Martin took the tactic of saying, well, I hope I'm never going to die, essentially. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it afterwards at the restaurant, and he was like, yeah, I wanted him to pretty much say, how
I
safe
have
is the story?
Notes.
How much of
I
it have... is written down? Like, you know, mm-hmm. But Martin said, no, it's all up in his head. And if he doesn't tell it, nobody else can.
He basically said that this is not going to be a Robert Jordan, Brandon Sanderson situation here. This is definitely going to be, if he goes, the story goes with him, which is terrifying.
Yeah. He also said, because someone asked him if he was worried about HBO catching up with his story, because obviously it took quite a while for the last book to come out. And he said, he's like, I'm hoping it doesn't take near that long for the next book, but mm-hmm. we'll see. He said that he does not believe that they will catch him. In fact, he pretty much said flat out, HBO will not catch me. I don't know if he thinks that it's going to get canceled before they catch up with him, or if that means he's going to finish writing all those books.
Yeah, HBO seems very, very ready to go through this whole process with George R. R. Martin. They're like, if this thing goes for 20 seasons, by all means, we will go that far. This is going to be a series that kind of stands the test of time, I think.
He is a producer on mm-hmm. this, and he talked about the fact that he was a Hollywood writer for many, many years. So he writes one script a season, and he is in as much as he can, given his other responsibilities and actually writing the other books, mm-hmm. He is advising them. So it's one of those rare times when the writer gets to actually help guide the television show because they understand enough about how television works.
Yeah. And well, to make a long story short, Adam over at the Word Zone has the full transcript of the discussion that they had. So if you weren't able to be there like we were, head over to the Word Zone. They've got a link to the transcript. You can check it out, see photos from the event as well. So all in all, it was a really great event, and I'm happy we had the chance to go and hear them speak.
Yeah, and my favorite answer was when he addressed the fact that he had said before A Dance with Dragons came out that it would be a year. And of course, it was how many years? I lost count.
Life happens, you know? Yeah. What are you going to do?
The reason he said, I'll never make that kind of prediction again, but the reason he said it was that he had most of A Dance with Dragons written when Feast for Crows went out, because they decided to split it in two. But the problem was when he went back to look at that half, he started tearing it up and he started mm-hmm. to rewrite. And he said only a couple of chapters actually survived from that original draft.
I sure would love to hear how the story was going to be told originally. It would be interesting those lost chapters.
You always wonder, but the writers always say, no, you don't.
No, you really don't.
That's why I rewrote them.
Well, also, Tad Williams, of course, is the author of Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn, which is an excellent series that starts with the Dragonbone Chair. He also wrote the Shadow March series, which I had read relatively recently, or finished up relatively recently. Also, the Otherland series, and... Tale Chaser Song, which is one of the first books that I actually got into in the fantasy genre. So I got to speak with him after the show and, you know, basically told him how cool it was that he was there, how excited I was to get to meet him, and how much I loved his books. And he said that maybe he'll be able to come on the show sometime.
Yeah, have you emailed him?
No, I'm scared.
Well, you got to email
him. I will,
I promise.
He gave
you. It's like the modern day equivalent of giving you his phone number, except for authors who want to get interviewed on podcasts.
He was very, very nice. So hopefully we'll get to speak to him in the future.
Also in the news, Pottermore has launched. That's the Harry Potter website. It's kind of the relaunch of J.K. Rowling's website. And the first 1 million users who signed up will receive early access ahead of other fans of the book and movie franchise when the site actually opens. Right now it's only open for registration. You don't actually get anything out of it, but this is the place where there will be sort of an extended universe for Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling has said she'll write some material for it, some original material for it. You'll also be able to download the ebook editions of all the Harry Potter books, which to date are not available as an ebook anywhere. And the Magic Quill will be selecting the lucky 1 million people who get early access to the website. So. You're probably a little late by the time you hear our podcast to go and register, but can't hurt, you know?
Can't hurt to try. Maybe the Magic Quill will choose you.
Oh.
Hey, Doctor Who fans, guess what? Writer Alistair Reynolds is going to be penning a Doctor Who novel. He's a very well-known author. This is pretty exciting, actually, for Doctor Who fans. And he's working on a book called Harvest of Time. And the book will feature the Third Doctor and Joe Grant facing the Master.
I didn't realize this till I read Adam Whitehead's post over at WordZone, but I guess they only do one hardcover Doctor Who a year.
Wow.
It's kind of a special deal. Michael Moorcock got it last year. Dan Abnett is writing it this year. And so they just announced that Alistair Reynolds will be working on it for the next novel next year. The book features the Third Doctor. So it's not always about the current Doctors. And Joe Grant facing the Master. Kind of a trip back in time. Pretty good. And it will be released in 2012.
Yeah, so I'm not a Doctor Who fan, unfortunately. Not because I don't like Doctor Who, but because I just never got into it. How important is this for someone like you, Tom?
You know, I have not read the Doctor Who books, so I'm not that into the culture. But I also, like I said, I didn't realize that it was kind of a special deal every year. That makes me want to read them more. It's not like Star Wars or Star Trek, where they're just kind of a long parade of these books coming out and these millions of series, and it's almost impossible to keep up, and I'm going to have so many other things to read, I don't want to get sucked in. This I could do, and they get really good authors. I mean, mm-hmm. Alistair Reynolds is one of my favorites. So is Michael Moorcock. I have great respect for Dan Abnett. So, you know, these are not just throwaways. These are worth paying attention to. So maybe I'll be picking one of these up once I'm released from the Dark Tower.
And what of Alistair Reynolds' books would you recommend? Like the Revelation series, like Revelation Space, Redemption
Arc? Yeah, I wanted to read, what was the one we had up on our vote the last time?
I thought it was Revelation Space, but I could be wrong.
Was it actually Revelation Space?
Maybe.
Yeah. Yes, that is the one. I was looking it up really quick. That's where I would start. Poseidon's Children, The Blue Remembered Earth is pretty good as well. But yeah, Revelation Space, that'd be my recommendation.
And he's a British sci-fi writer, so it makes a lot of sense in my mind.
That I like him?
That he would be penning Doctor Who.
Oh, I see.
Because clearly all British sci-fi writers are obsessed with Doctor Who.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Sweeping generalization podcast.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, actually you didn't. That was a different interview. I was interviewing the production designer for Doctor Who at Comic-Con, and I asked him, I understand you're a fan of the series. And he sort of hedged it by saying, oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up watching Doctor Who. But he's like, growing up in England, you're likely to be a Doctor Who fan if you're a child. It's mm-hmm. like saying, you know, oh, are you a Sunday morning cartoon fan here in the United States?
Gotcha.
It's like, well, of course. Yeah, I or a Saturday morning cartoon fan. I was alive. I was that age. And that's kind of the way it is over there. So I'm sure there's plenty of people in England who don't like Doctor Who, even some sci-fi writers who don't like Doctor Who. But most of them are smart enough not to admit it or be slaughtered.
Yeah. Well, speaking of British and sci-fi, tell us about Attack the Block.
Yeah, this is a British movie that was reviewed on IO9, and it says it makes fighting aliens cool again. It's a character study, and it's
When was that not cool?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I think what they're saying is maybe not cliche.
Okay.
Again, so they say you've probably heard it referred to as an alien invasion movie. It's set in a British housing projects, and they want to quickly reassure you that it's not Battle LA. What makes Attack of the Block so great is the characters are bound up with the story. So I've only seen the trailer, or actually not even the trailer, just the one scene where Moses and his team gang take on a crashed alien. It looks interesting. It looks intriguing to me.
It does.
I'm going to keep it on my list of things to watch out for. Not sure when it's going to hit theaters. It's an indie movie, so you may have to look for it at art theaters and places like that.
Yeah, I just saw Cowboys and Aliens.
Ah, yes, and?
That was a movie. No, actually, I really enjoyed it. Okay, I enjoyed it. I went into it expecting, you know, what I should expect, which is a
cowboys,
somewhat campy cowboys and aliens movie. I mean, what do you want from the thing?
It's Harrison Ford and Daniel Craig. I mean, it's really getting trashed, though, by the critics. They're
I don't
just
know
saying
why.
It's awful.
Like, what do you expect? Yeah, there were some, like, cheesy moments, but I had a lot of fun watching the movie. You know, if you take it for what it is, you're going to have fun. I you can't be that serious about it. It's not going to win any Oscars, okay?
I have it in our summer movie draft, and it only grossed $36 million the first weekend.
It's beating Smurfs now.
Yeah, the Smurfs almost beat it, so.
That's frightening. What does that say about humanity? Oh, I don't know, Tom.
Humanity is Smurfy.
It is very Smurfy. But speaking of things that are Smurfy and Smurftacular, that's not actually true. The World Science Fiction Travel Fund. Apparently, the World Science Fiction Travel Fund is being launched, and it's to enable one international person involved in science fiction, fantasy, or horror to travel to a major genre event. And according to Lavi Tidhar, they say the first person will be Charles A. Tan from the Philippines, who is currently nominated for a World Fantasy Award. So they're running a fundraiser with some prizes to try to help this along. They're doing an original illustration by China Mieville, a special donation from Neil Gaiman, a whole score of books from PS Publishing, ebook stuff from Angry Robot Books, and all sorts of great stuff. So it seems like a really nice idea, a nice way to kind of get some sci-fi, fantasy, horror writers, you know, at these events where they're going to meet a whole new group of fans, a whole new group of people, and kind of spread the word about their books to people who may not have heard of them before because they're not from their country or don't speak their language.
So whether you are someone who wants to help less advantaged writers get exposure across the world, or you're just someone who wants an original illustration by China Mieville or something special from Neil Gaiman, you can visit the worldsftravelfund.com to find out more.
Really nice idea, I think. All right, well, now it's time for the calendar, which is the upcoming releases for the next month or so. And up
starting
first, go ahead.
August 2nd.
You go.
Do I go first?
Go first.
August 2nd, 2011. We've mentioned it before. The Diviner by Melanie Ron. It's Ron delivering a sequel to one of her older books, The Golden Key.
And also on the 2nd, which is the day the podcast will come out, actually. So today, Prince of Thorns by Mark Lawrence. The first volume in the Broken Empire trilogy is picking up some strong advance notices. The main character is a ruthless and a moral outlaw who discovers a new threat to the remnants of the Empire.
And August 9th, The Magician King by Lev Grossman returns you to Fillory in a sequel to the New York Times bestseller and literary phenomenon of 2009, The Magicians. Quentin and his friends are now the kings and queens of Fillory, but the days and nights of royal luxury are starting to pall.
No, spoiler alert, jeez. Guess I don't
know. It's like
read.
Saying, you know, the Narnia kids are kings and queens in Prince Caspian.
Spoiler alert.
That doesn't really spoil anything, except that they're not all dead, and it's a children's book, so you wouldn't think they would be.
Exactly. So, yeah, not too much coming out this month.
Anyway, A Morning Hunt takes a sinister turn, and I'm not going to tell you any more than that.
Because I'll say spoiler alert again.
Exactly.
And you're sick of hearing it.
I'm tired of hearing about the spoiler alerts.
Well, now is a good time. Now is a good time to say that this podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many of the New York Times bestsellers.
For listeners of this podcast, receive a free audiobook.
Now, it's true.
If you're already a member of Audible, obviously you're not going to get the free audiobook because you already took advantage of that offer at some point. So tell a friend. Pass it along. Let folks know to go to audiblepodcast.com/sword and get themselves a free audiobook. I have listened to the freaking entire Dark Tower series on Audible. It saved my commute. But they have lots of great stuff to choose from. I'm going to point out Vortex by Robert Charles Wilson. It is actually a sequel to Axis, which they also have on audiobook. But Vortex continues the story of Turk Findlay, who is transported 10,000 years into the future by the mysterious entities called the Hypotheticals. In this future, humanity exists on a chain of planets connected by hypothetical gateways, but Earth itself is a dying world, effectively quarantined.
Very interesting. I just finished Fuzzy Nation, actually, on Audible, and I enjoyed it very much. And I did not realize that they also include Little Fuzzy as part of the audiobook.
Oh, that's cool.
To the first
bonus
half.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first half is Fuzzy Nation. The second half is Little Fuzzy.
Oh.
So now you get to see the story that that Fuzzy Nation is based on.
It's like a short story, right? Or a novella?
Yeah, I don't think it's not as long for sure. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to hearing it, though some people in the forums have been saying that it's a little bit on the kind of like misogynist, sexist, racist side of the coin. So I'm a little apprehensive about getting into it.
I guess I would be too. That's Little Fuzzy. Fuzzy Nation isn't like that.
No.
Weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we had some discussions about it, so I might give it a listen because it is shorter and, you know, form my own opinion, as it were. All right, well, now it is time for Bury Your Sword, which is our feedback from the audience. And up first is a thread about A Dance with Dragons. And this one started by Max. And he says, "Hi, my name is Max, longtime listener. I have finished A Dance with Dragons, and I feel a general loss of interest for Song of Ice and Fire series. I'm not commenting on delays between the books. Good books take time to be written. I'm talking about emotional connection to the story and the characters. George R. R. Martin had taught us not to care about characters through gut-wrenching episodes, like... I think it's safe to say The Wedding. And now it's harder and harder to do. The cast of characters is growing endlessly. I just don't care about marine politics and wilding chiefs that much. George R. R. Martin has lost focus by taking such a broad approach. By now, it takes 2,000-page books to advance the plot of the Westeros universe. How many more pages will it take George R. R. Martin to bring this to a conclusion? I can't imagine I'll feel any emotional attachment to the series 10 years down the road when book 7 or 9 will finally come out. How did A Dance with Dragons make you feel?
You know, most people seem to respond that, and it's mostly like 3 or 4 people in this thread, but most people seem to respond that they're still into the series, but they were sort of sympathetic to the idea that maybe there are too many characters. And I tend to agree with that. I just got to the point in the book, I'm 50% through, where they went back to Dorne. And all of a sudden, it's all these people that I know, mm-hmm. but some of the names, I'm like, wait a minute, who's that?
And that's when you got to pull up a wiki of Ice and
Fire. You got to pull out the wiki. You got to look them up. You need a glossary. And that I can see where if you're not as emotionally invested, that might finish you off. But I love the story enough that it's worth the work for me. Mm-hmm. I just hope that he isn't painting himself into a corner where he can't write his way back to a coherent ending. You know, he's almost writing an actual history, and history doesn't wrap itself up very nicely like that.
Yeah.
Our next thread was started by Jenny back on July 7th, called Only Reading Finnish Series. And we've mentioned this before on the show, but it's still a lively thread. Still a lot of people throwing out ideas for good series that people might want to read. So I figured we'd share some of these. Brian recommends the Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind. Good mm-hmm. Finnish series. Mm-hmm. We got a couple of recommendations from Andrew. He says, How about the ones from Tad Williams?
Oh, hey, I already actually talked about these earlier in the
one
show.
One sword and one laser. Yeah, Memory, Sorrow, and Thorn Trilogy and mm-hmm. The Other Land, both finished series. So yeah. This is a great, this is one of the things I love about our Goodreads forum is that, you know, these discussions continue not only along the philosophical lines about whether you would want to only read series that have been finished or not, but also with really good recommendations from folks.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a really good way to go sometimes, because if you want something that's complete, if you want something where you feel some kind of satisfaction for reading the entire story, then sometimes it's better to go back to things that are a little bit older and finished. I mean, that's how you're going to get that. That's how you're going to not have to deal with something like a George R. R. Martin, yeah. where you still know that there's going to be, you know, at least maybe two more books to go.
Sometimes I like that anticipation of the new book. I liked that with Dance of Dragons. It's the first time I've had it with Martin, because I didn't start reading the series until after A Feast for Crows came out. So I enjoy that sort of excitement of the day that it arrives. And I liked that about the Harry Potter series, too. And you know, I'm not the biggest Harry Potter fan in the world, but I enjoyed it. And it was so exciting to get caught up in the rush of everyone saying, oh, it comes tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
And that can be fun. At the same time, I totally understand that reticence to start on something, especially as long as A Song of Ice and Fire, when you don't know if you're going to get left in the lurch or not.
Well, let's move out of the realm of A Song of Mice and Liars and go into the TV and movie realm. And there's a thread started on the forums by Lepton. Oh, Lepton. He always has something to say, doesn't he? He says, watch the series premiere of Alphas. Wow, what a heap.
Yeah, he titled it Alphas, more like Alblas.
I love it. Pandering storyline and multicultural rainbow of characters, typical power cliches, poor acting goosed and punctuated by overwhelming and cliched music score, lame special effects.
You know,
and poor, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to wrap it up there. He does sympathize at least with poor David Strathairn, though.
Yes, he says, such a capable and talented actor saddled with this dreck. Dreck, I love the word dreck. Yes, this is the same Academy Award-nominated actor who portrayed Edward R. Murrow in Good Night and Good Luck. How I loathe sci-fi. He means the network.
Meaning SIFI, the network, S-Y-F-Y, mm-hmm. not the genre. But you know what? I have to say, I was excited about the promise of Alphas. I liked the idea from what I had read. And so I was planning on watching it. All of the promos for it, all of the commercials, just looked blah.
Yeah? So you agree it was Alblas?
Even now, the promos are like, coming up this week on Alphas, no story. Like, they can't even in the promos tell me what the show is going to be about each week. So I have not got around to watching it. I felt no compunction. And most of the reviews are not that different from Lepton's. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know that Dobie was like,
cynical,
for a pilot,
he's
I didn't think it was
right.
that bad. There were people, you know, gave it some props, but mostly I don't think you're missing anything.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. I haven't checked out a lot of stuff on sci-fi, though. I really do want to pick up Eureka again now that Felicia's on. I think that's going to be awesome. I heard that she's doing a great, great, funny job as a new character on
Eureka.
Oh, yeah.
She was fantastic in the first episode we saw with her. And I'm sure she's going to be great. We haven't caught up yet. We're a couple behind.
And Will Wheaton's on, too.
Yeah. Wheaton is back as well.
I haven't watched since like season 3 or 4, so I'm a little bit behind.
It's a great show.
It's a great show.
I really do like Eureka. Also, I have to recommend Falling Skies. Resurrected this a thread because it's still going on. People are still posting on it. Tama Home had started it back on June 19th when Falling Skies premiered, and it's wrapping up now. It's actually getting towards the end. And it is one, it's kind of the opposite story of Alphas, where I didn't really think I was going to like it. Mm-hmm. I was like, they're just going to overdo it. It's going to be too Spielberg-y. And it got some bad reviews too. But then when I watched it, I was like, this is pretty good. And maybe it's my lower expectations, but I got sucked in. I liked
this one's
the
on
character.
TNT, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's on TNT. And you know what? You're going to have stuff to pick on. There's going to be holes in the plot and there's going to be some special effects that make you cringe. But overall, I like it.
I thought it was Tama Home.
Is it Tama Home?
I don't know.
It's sure,
been 3 years and I still don't know.
I know. We'll just call it T.
T. Good old T. Yeah, so you know what looks bad by Steven Spielberg? War Horse.
War Horse.
You haven't seen the promos for War Horse?
No, sounds like I'm lucky.
It looks like the sappiest hunk of sad sack, heartstring tugging movie.
Is it a horse that fights a war and then
it's a horse in a war and then he meets, you know, some children who want to love him and take care of him, and there's a war and there's like a lot of scenic horse running through field shots and the kids and the, oh, the horse, we love you,
old yeller horse.
Exactly, it looks like old yeller horse. Exactly. Okay.
No spoilers about Old Yeller, but just saying.
Yeah, exactly. And hey, speaking of Potter, there's actually a thread started by Micah called Harry Potter 7 Part 2. He said he watched the movie yesterday and was extra excited to see it. And despite the fact that his wife and he had possibly had the world's worst theater experience ever, which I kind of want to hear more about.
Yeah, I know.
I want to know exactly what was so horrible. Bad. He loved the movie. What did you think of the movie?
I loved it.
I loved it too.
My wife said it was the best of all of them, and I have to agree. Mm-hmm. I think it was so well done, so well paced, so well told. I never got fidgety in my seat waiting for it to get to the good part. I actually am one of those people who really doesn't like chase scenes and battle scenes when they drag out for very long, and I felt like this was the kind of movie that knew exactly when to move on to something else. And you know, it's a cheesy, sappy, whatever.
It was not that cheesy
here and there, but that's the way it's written and it's fine. So, if you like Harry Potter, I think you're going to love the movie.
My favorite comment was by Colin. He said, I'm going to mispronounce this. I always forget how to say this. Someone performed the Cruciatus curse on my throat in the Snape scene and Harry's chat in the woods.
The Snape scene I didn't think was that bad. Harry's
really?
Chat.
Really? Harry's I chat, cried chat like a little woods. Bitch. I cried like a little bitch. I won't lie to you.
Oh, okay. No, I thought it was a good, I guess I'm saying it was a good scene. He's saying it made him
like his throat got all, you know, tightened up.
Oh, Colin's saying his throat got, I thought he was saying he was in pain.
No.
Because it's the Cruciatus curse.
Cruciatus, thank you. I can't pronounce that.
On his throat, which means he's killing his throat.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Colin, you'll need to.
That's not how I took
it. You'll need to settle this.
I took it as he got emotional and got all like verklempt.
Oh, see, I thought he was saying he thought it was too sappy.
I don't think so. Because then Wayne said, "Me too, Colin. Glad to know that's what it was, and not me getting emotional and all."
Ah.
So everyone else took it that way. So unless he went back and No, sounds like, nope, he enjoyed it. So I think we're all in the clear. It was good. I thought it was a really fun movie. I'm glad they did the epilogue the way they did.
Oh, by the way, Micah does just explain what happened to him.
Oh, he does?
In the movie. Yeah, he said, we had a tiny baby come in with his mother who then acted outraged that the baby would start crying in the middle of the movie. My wife and I could not believe it. I have two toddlers myself, so I know how hard it can be to get out, but come on. Harry Potter is a loud and scary movie. Then a person was talking on the phone for 45 minutes until I asked him to please shut the hell up. I guess that angered him because he was waiting outside the theater looking around like he wanted to fight me. Really, dude? Fight over a Harry Potter movie?
Oh, I have almost started so many fights in movies because I abhor talking during movies.
You know, it's one thing when people talk to each other during the movie. That's annoying. But talking on the phone...
I hate it when people have their phone out.
How clueless can you be?
I hate it when people have their phone out. I hate it when people are talking. I hate it when people are rustling with their candy wrappers for an extended period of time. Well, basically, I should just not watch movies in public. Because I'm that guy, I want absolute silence for the entire movie.
All right, if it makes you feel any better, I have some of that crazy stuff too. Because what I hate is when people come into a largely empty theater and sit down right next to you.
Well, you're probably sitting in the best spot.
It can't be that good. I mean, one seat over, just
like so literally
you're not,
right next to you,
sharing the armrest with me.
That's creepy.
Yeah,
that's just basically creepy. All right, well, should we check in with the book with our pick,
yes,
A Dance with Dragons?
Let's do.
A Dance with 50% to 70% of the Dragons, which is where I'm at.
I am at 50. I'm just over 50.
I'm at like 65.
All right. Yeah, so I figured we were somewhere in there. Halfway through, I feel like I'm not halfway through. As long as it has taken me to read this far, and I know I'm reading pretty slow, I still feel like I'm at the beginning. I don't feel like I've hit that part of the book where I'm like, oh, this is what the book's about. I feel like it's still building up. And I, and granted, you could say that about the entire series of A Song of Ice and Fire. It all is one big build up to nothing because, you know, you have to wait for the next book. But usually by this point, I've had a few more revelations than I feel like I've had now. Maybe I'm just being greedy. But, you know, I mean, we've had a wedding. We've had a surprise appearance. And those have been great. But man, maybe it's just Daenerys. Maybe I just want her to move her ass. But
I know
I'm waiting for something bigger than what has happened for me to happen.
Well, I think we're building up to it. I'm still having some oh shit moments when certain characters make their first reappearance where I'm like, oh, really? Good. I'm happy to see you come into this book because it's enjoyable.
Missed you.
Yeah, exactly.
Come over here.
You'll have one of those. If you haven't had it yet, you'll have another one of those very soon.
Okay, good.
Where you're like, oh, yeah. I think I actually said that out loud.
Cheered once. I've had one moment that I shouldn't discount with Jon Snow where he does something freaking awesome. And you're just like, yeah.
I hope someone makes some kind of ringtone with me going, oh, yeah. And you're going, oh.
God, that one. And then don't let it go off in the theater.
No, don't ever. No sound in the theater ever. I actually almost got into a fight a few times. I actually Ryan, my boyfriend, started a near fight where he told someone to shush. And then the people thought it was someone else telling them to shush. And so they kicked those people in the back of the chair. And the person that they were accusing of shushing them dumped a soda in their lap in retaliation.
Wow.
And then there was lots of screaming.
You're little troublemakers.
Well, we didn't know. Well, we knew, but we weren't going to say anything at that point. Like, oh, excuse me. That was actually us telling you to shush.
My lap?
Yeah.
Pardon me.
So, right. Yeah, I should not go in public. But anyway.
But you're enjoying the book.
I am enjoying the book very, very much. I feel like it's never going to end, which is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Right.
I just feel like I'm not making progress. Like I keep reading and reading and my percentage does not keep going up.
You're right. It is both a good and a bad thing because you want to get there, right? But you also don't really want it to end. So.
And it's so big that I feel like we cannot have a cohesive discussion about it until we're both done.
Until we're done. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say at least 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I should be done in 2 weeks. Okay. I won't be done in a week, though. I'm pretty sure.
All right. Well, let's move on to the emails. And speaking of percentages, we have an email from UV who writes in, I don't know if you talked about this before, but it always irks me that you're using percentages when talking about how far along you are in an ebook. Perhaps you should solicit suggestions for a word that defines an ebook page in your forum. Here's my suggestion. Phage. A page in an ebook reader or ebook application of arbitrary size. I'm currently on page 364 of 1,663 in the Wise Man's Fear iBook. Origin, early 21st century, from English fake page.
I like the cleverness of fake page being called phage. It does sound a little bit like a white blood cell to me. And the fact that I could say I'm 20% through the book versus I'm currently on page 364 of 1,663 in the iBook version.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking percentages are better.
I think it's a little more universal.
Yeah.
In understanding, in comprehension. You know what I mean?
I know. I think I understand why it irks him. Because it's like,
understand.
I am reading an actual book. I want to know how many pages you are in. I'm used to hearing in pages. But I think if you kind of get past that and just think, percentage is actually the more accurate way of describing how far you are in a book.
I agree. So good suggestion. I love inventing words, but I'm going to stick with percentage. In fact, I think all books should just do percentage.
Yeah. In fact, paper books should print the percentage instead of page numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
How about that? Huh? I'm on page 500 of 1024. So you know.
And then Jenny C. writes in. She says, Hi, Tom and Veronica. I was wondering if you were planning to have another Sword and Laser meetup in Atlanta during Dragon Con. Oh, Dragon Con. I had such a cluster setting that up today. I screwed something up, Tom, and I hope I didn't screw you up too.
What did you do?
Are you on the same flight as me?
Yes. I thought I was.
My flight was on Friday.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I had to pay to switch it to Thursday because all my panels are on Friday.
Wait a minute. Really?
Yeah. I was meaning to tell you today, but you weren't online. And I guess now's probably not the time to tell you it's going to cost you $200 to change that flight.
Yeah. Friday.
Yeah.
Get in at 1:30.
I get in at 4. Well, I get in at 4 on Thursday.
I get
now.
In at 4 because it's Eastern time. You're right.
Yeah. I made a boo-boo.
Yes. And I, that's interesting.
So I had to also
have
to book
Friday
another.
At 7 panel. And then, of course, the reason we're talking about this, we shouldn't be, you know, comparing our calendars on the podcast, but the Sword and Laser live podcast will be Saturday at 1 p.m. in the Marriott, ballroom A601-602.
Yes, it will. We are going to have another live podcast, and I'm not sure who our guest is going to be yet. We're still figuring that out, but it will be someone awesome, I'm sure. And if not, we'll still have a grand old time. And yeah, we're going to do a meetup. We need to figure out a place. I've been working on that a little bit. But if you have any suggestions or any places you love going, we should, you know, start a forum thread about it and see who's all going to be there this year.
Abso-smurfly.
So I'm sorry about that. I had to also book another hotel room night. So.
Are you still leaving on the same time?
Yes. Hmm. I just moved my flight.
Interesting.
Don't be mad at me. I'm sorry. I don't know how that happened.
I don't think I need to move my flight.
Okay, but. Maybe you're okay.
Yeah.
If you don't have any panels in the morning, you should
panels
be fine.
Friday evening. I mean, it's cutting it close, but
I've got like a noon panel. I've got like two panels on Friday, and they're both.
Isn't this
in
why you
afternoon.
People subscribe to our show
to hear about this stuff? Well, if they're going to go, they want to know we're going to be.
It's
on panels.
It's the only
and
time
stuff.
Veronica and I get a chance to talk.
We don't ever talk. It's really bizarre. Yeah, so we'll have a meetup. So if you're going to be in the Atlanta area on September 1st through 5th, I think, something like that, we're going to be
yes.
there. I'm going to be there Thursday to Tuesday.
I'll be there September 2nd through the 5th, probably.
Hey, why is air travel so expensive?
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Oh, but anyway, it'll be totally worth it. We're going to have a grand old time. Roger's even going as
Yay!
My guest. Roger
yeah,
Chang.
It's not the same time as PAX.
Yay.
So
that should be fun. But anyway, it's time for the new member hellos.
Should we alternate? Do you think we can pull this off?
Yeah, we got to keep the flow going, though.
All right.
All right. Ready? And I'll start. And 3, 2, Gary.
Andy.
Thaddeus.
Clifford.
Jay.
Michelle.
Gabriel.
Mike.
Tom.
Chain 72.
Jeremy.
Dustin.
Austin.
Roger.
Karen.
William.
Skip.
Chris.
Paul.
Nathaniel.
Andrew.
Max.
Auntie.
Ewan.
Michael.
Alyssa.
Trake.
And I'm going to say Owen again, or Ewan.
Ewan?
Or, yeah, because Ewan. I think I messed that up. Sorry, Ewan.
That's okay. I almost screwed up Andrew. I don't know why.
Chain 72, it was hard to work into the rhythm, too.
Yeah, it threw you off a little bit. I put that there on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Not
nice
really.
Belmont.
But anyway, that's all the show we got this week. If you want to email us suggestions or anything you've been reading or stuff you're doing or TV shows you're watching, the email address, as always, is theswordandlaser@gmail.com. The website with all our info is swordandlaser.com. And if you want to participate in the discussions, all our stuff is over on Goodreads. Just search for Sword and Laser or follow the discussions tab from our website and it'll bring you right there.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
We will see you next time.
We'll talk to them.
Well, yeah, I guess we won't actually see them, but it was, you know what I meant, right?
Yeah, I know.
We'll see them in like the virtual space.
I got to go change my flight.
Okay. Sorry. Damn it.